भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गराधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 17, The Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in His Youth. Okay, then, page 85. When Lord Chaitanya declared, Trinadapi suni chena toror ivasa hishuna, he indicates that one must be above the material conception of life. When one thoroughly understands that he is not the material body but a spirit soul, he is even humbler than a man of the lower castes, for he is spiritually elevated. Such humility in which one thinks himself lower than the grass is called sunichatva, and being more tolerant than a tree is called sahishnutva, forbearance. Being situated in devotional service, not caring for the material conception of life, is called amanitva, indifference to material respect. Yet a devotee thus situated is called manada, for he is prepared to give others to honor to others without hesitation. And so one has to be transcendental. One has to be beyond the material concept of life to be able to function in this way. Right? So why would that be there? It's because there's faith in that spiritual position. When there's faith in the spiritual authority, Krishna's position, the position of devotional service, then you can be in that position. Otherwise, if there's faith that religiosity has its importance outside of devotional service, that means it's a material conception. Right? Because dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, they're material conceptions. Right? Engageable in the Lord's service, but still if we take it that that's the important aspect, it still has the material concept. So one has to go beyond that where it's about Krishna. That's what makes it perfect. That's what makes it transcendental. Right? Mahatma Gandhi started the Harijan movement to purify the untouchables. But he was a failure because he thought that one could become a Harijana, a personal associate of the Lord through some kind of material adjustment. That is not possible. Unless one fully realizes that he's not the body, but a spirit soul, there is no question as to becoming a Harijana. Those who do not follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and his disciplic succession cannot distinguish between matter and spirit, right? So that's the thing. Unless you're following Lord Chaitanya and his direction, you can't actually tell the difference between matter and spirit. Because here, Mahatma Gandhi started this Harijana movement. So the idea is that he's trying to make everybody equal, bring everybody up and everything like that, right? You don't get any more liberal than this. You know, trying to make everybody... And he's not dealing on a small level. You know, he's dealing in, you know, how you say... Yeah, that shall be hundreds of millions of people. You know, it's like it's how many people he was dealing with is more than what America is, right? You know, so he's dealing on that kind of level, and because it looks like it's a nice thing, right? It means it's a nice thing. Everybody's equal. Everybody has facility. Everybody has, you know, equal honor. It's nice, but the point is unless you have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you can't tell that that's not spiritual. Because you're trying to make the bodies equal, but no body is equal. Every body is different, every mind is different, every intelligence is different. So therefore, only on the platform of the soul, that's the only place you can recognize where that equality is. You had something there?
I mean, when he says Lord Chaitanya, does he just mean Vaishnava, or is it seriously only Gaudiya Vaishnava?
Well, in this case, you're meaning Lord Chaitanya, because we're talking about... means, in other words, unless you know the Lord, you can't know. Only Vaishnavas can actually understand. But it doesn't mean that in the Vaishnava position that we might not function in the mixed element. Mm. So depending upon what our particular attachments are, we may maintain that, and that may cloud, because at that point you're not actually looking at Lord Chaitanya. So that's an important thing, because otherwise there's this idea, if it's just as good, it's nice, it sounds good, and it's accommodating and everything like that, and you can talk like this when you say it, then it makes it spiritual. When it doesn't make it spiritual at all. It makes it nice, but it doesn't make it spiritual. You know, like let's say like a baby goat is, you know, it's furry, is nice, but that doesn't make the goat spiritual. Just because they're nice. Does that make sense? Yeah? Means if they're describing between the body and the soul, then that point itself is good. But whether the people describing it have that realization, that's another thing. But the point is what are they based on? Where is it being established that that's the difference? Right? Because if there's a difference between the body and the soul, then going to heaven, do you need this body? You know what I'm saying? The soul is there. So it means if you want to go to heaven with a material body like that, then, you know, you have a problem there, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? So you have to see is that the whenever anybody discusses, it's not like if it has absolutely no connection at all, any words, any concepts, anything to do with spiritual life, then only it's material. Right? Or if it just has one drop of even one thing that's common, that makes it all spiritual. Right? We have to be able to tell the difference on what's material and what's spiritual. Right? Does that make sense? Like you have a potato. The whole thing's a potato. But you have to know what parts you use, what parts you don't. You know? Like eyes are great things, but on potatoes they're not. Right? Unless you want to grow potatoes, you're a potato farmer, then eyes on the potatoes are really good. Right? Because they can see where they're going, know how to grow, everything like that. You know, otherwise, then, you know, it's a problem. You know, you imagine how much what a trip it is to get all those little dinky white canes, you know, like that, with little red on the end, you know, to get each potato because they're blind, you know, so they have to have eyes. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah. So that's the whole point. Does it make any sense?
It's one of those that sound like it makes sense.
Huh?
It sounds like it makes sense.
It sounds like it makes sense.
Yeah, like everything you say actually has a meaning, but the whole thing is kind of like...
Aluvada.
Huh?
Aluvada.
Aluvada, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... everything has its position. You have to be able to tell what's there. It's just like, I think there's a saying in English, to be able to, what do you call it? It's some word that's used, the chaff and the grain.
Winnowing.
What are you doing?
Winnowing.
You have to separate the wheat from the chaff. Right? So that means that's what we're talking about here. So to actually be able to do it completely, only if one surrendered to the Lord in Vaishnava, in the spiritual line, will it work. One could complain, but the point is just because you read books doesn't mean you get a degree. You have to get the degree from the line of the teachers in the school that are giving it. So in the same way, as if you want that pure spiritual knowledge, you have to get it in the line of pure spiritual knowledge. Does that make sense? So, yes, if they say there's body and soul, and they'll all talk like that. All religionists will talk like that. But when you get down to, okay, what's the soul? Then that's where the problem comes up. They don't really know. There's some idea, because it's something there from before. You know? Does that make sense? Those who do not follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his disciplic succession cannot distinguish between matter and spirit, and therefore all their ideas are but a mixed-up hodgepodge of problems. They are virtually lost in the bewildering network of Maya Devi, right? Because of the Jiva Maya, we'll just cover. You know, it's not a matter of sentiment, it's a matter of a fact. right? If we're just only on sentiment, just running on that, then it's not as strong as if you actually understand the philosophy. Right? But the point is it's just, you're just saying that this is what it is. Just like if you're not learning cooking from a cook and you've never cooked before, then whatever you do, you know, is going to be, you know, how you say, a mixed up hodgepodge of problems. And there's a good chance you won't even get hodgepodge. Right? Yeah. Yes.
What we were saying earlier, some other religions talk about the difference between spirit and matter, but somehow they think only humans have.
Yeah, only humans have.
So clearly they don't know. Really,
no, they don't know. They don't know. And if you want to have real fun, it's in the last, you know, only in the last, I think, 200 years, then women have souls.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like that, because otherwise it was only the men had the souls. So that they really, there's some idea, but there's only a little bit of understanding of it.
They've heard of it.
Yeah, they've heard of it, and so they don't really understand how it works. So that's the whole thing, is that wherever there is something there that you can work with, in other words, they have this idea, and then you can speak on this, and then bring them forward, then it's worthwhile. But if they have so many issues or so many misconceptions in that area, you might use something else. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's a value when you can use it as a point of discussion about Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. After 3 days, leprosy attacked Gopal Chapala, and blood oozed from sores all over his body. Incessantly covered with germs and insects biting him all over his body, Gopal Chapala felt unbearable pain. His entire body burned in distress. Since leprosy is an infectious disease, Gopal Chapala left the village to sit down on the bank of the Ganges underneath a tree. Right? Because it's a standard thing, because being infectious, then others can get it. Then generally they always separate themselves from everyone else, because it's not like they got a cold or something. You know, it's something more severe. So generally, always you see in all societies, when someone gets leprosy, they stay in a separate place. They're taken care of, but they don't stay where others can have any problems. One day, however, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing by and spoke to him as follows. "My dear nephew, I am your maternal uncle in our village relationship. Please see how greatly this attack of leprosy has affected me. As an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy." Srila Prabhupada. It appears that although Gopal Chapala was sinful, talkative, and insulting, he nevertheless had the qualification of simplicity. Thus he believed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had come to deliver all fallen souls. And he appealed for his own deliverance, seeking the mercy of the Lord. He did not know, however, that the deliverance of the fallen does not consist of curing their bodily diseases. Although it is a fact that when a man is delivered from the material clutches, his material bodily diseases are automatically cured. Gopal Chapala simply wanted to be delivered from the bodily sufferings of leprosy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although accepting his sincere appeal, wanted to inform him of the real cause of suffering. Right, because it's just that he has this problem, he wants that to go away. That's all the farther the looking. So you see is that he has that simplicity of accepting the Lord, you know, so he doesn't have that atheistic nature from that side. But due to his sinful activities and all this, then he's not clearly understanding. That's what we're saying. Unless you're following in this line of Lord Chaitanya, you can't actually understand. So people are looking at that God will remove their sufferings and all that, and that they're going to God, that's the right place. But the problem comes up is that they're not asking why they have it. It's just, I have it, make it go away. But the point is if you don't know why you have it, what's going to keep you from getting it again?
Isn't that also sometimes what the demigods do?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, worshipping the demigods has that weakness, yeah. So that's why when we're talking about the material, the Upasana Khanda will be thrown into there. But at the same time, is in Upasana means worship, then the Vedas are saying about worship of the Supreme Lord. So sometimes Upasana will be counted as the Vaishnava position. So it's one of those that can go either way. So you're approaching the Lord, but if it's only for a material purpose, then it won't be as ideal as if you're approaching for spiritual. Like here, he doesn't want to know the reason behind. It's not about taking up devotional service, surrendering to the Lord. It's just that he's delivering people from suffering, but that's because they could turn to the spiritual. So he's suffering, so therefore, right? So he's just taking the words and then connecting there. 1:17:50-51. Hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared greatly angry. And in that angry mood, he spoke some words chastising him. O sinful person, envious of pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for many millions of years. Srila Prabhupada. We should note herein that all our sufferings in this material world, especially from disease, are due to our past sinful activities. And of all sinful activities, actions directed against a pure devotee out of sheer envy are considered extremely severe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Gopal Chapala to understand the cause of his suffering. Any person who disturbs the pure devotee engaged in broadcasting the holy name of the Lord is certainly punished like Gopal Chapala. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we shall see, right? Because the material world is its whole position is to elevate the living entity out of the material world and back to the spiritual world. That's its whole purpose. So, therefore, and that'll happen by the association of the devotees. So, then if we're committing offense to the devotees, how will we get out? Right? Says the process, the material world is there for leaving, you know, purifying yourself, going back to Godhead. That process of purification works only in the association of the devotees. You offend the devotees, how will the process work? Right? So it's not that there's the process and then there's pure devotees. No, the process is the pure devotees. You know? Yes?
In living the personal image to worship Durgadin, was Gopal Chapala attempting to implicate Srivas as a shakta or
yes.
a hypocrite?
In any case, it's just something, whichever works. He would be happy probably with either one of them, you know, just as long as it... He just wants... He's offended because he couldn't go into the kirtan, right? Because he's a Brahmin, he should be able to go, and he's not allowed. So therefore now he's going to, you know, try to make some attack against Srivas Thakur.
Very Brahminical.
Yes, very Brahminical. So that's all. It's just envy. That's why Prabhupada is saying out of sheer envy. So that's why then it's very extremely severe. Because we're identifying on the bodily platform, then we're not looking at am I qualified to be there or not. He's just looking at I'm a Brahmin. You know, this is a gathering of Brahmins. I should be able to go. Like that. He's not looking at, well, actually, what's my qualification? So that's the difficulty in many of these things. Someone does something, and someone does something because in their mind it's a good thing to do, and it disturbs others, and then everybody becoming disturbed, then that person becomes upset with that, and then he wants revenge about how they got disturbed. But he started it, you know. But that's the problem with the sinful mentality is. You can't actually see what you're doing. That's the Maya Shakti, is that it covers you, so you don't actually see it. You think, I'm intelligent, I'm this, I'm that, so naturally, you know, I'm intelligent. Being intelligent is good, therefore I'm good. You know, like that. So that one puts these things together. And from that, then you can make so many mistakes. What we see before is that Lord Chaitanya is pointing out, Prabhupada is pointing out this aspect of the devotee is humble. The pure devotees are humble, right? They're tolerant. They respect others. They're not looking for that respect for themselves. That's the symptom of advancement. But we take it because it's actually a change of heart. But if we take it by the externals, that yes. Before I couldn't do this, you know, activity, let's say, in devotional service. Now I'm quite good at it. That's the symptom of my advancement. That wouldn't be how you do it. It's just a matter of, by Krishna's grace, you can do it nicer for serving Him. So it's just Krishna's mercy, rather than, no, I'm advanced. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. As we surrender, then you can see these things. And if not, then it's hard to see. So we Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, these are practical in our lives. You know, does that make sense? You know, because otherwise, yeah, you know, 30 years ago, then, you know, you wanted to do this, and then that devotee who was in some position of authority, he didn't allow you to do it, and all this and that. And, you know, 30 years later, you're still grumbling about it. So there's something, that's just a lack of Krishna consciousness. You know, but this idea is that justice is good, so therefore my being absorbed in this is good, and Krishna consciousness is good, so therefore my absorption in justice is Krishna consciousness. You know, we just use this faulty logic. So only Lord Chaitanya, then it points out what's the actual point. Does that make sense? Because he's supposed to be a devotee, or at least amongst the Vaishnavas. You know, if you can get them, if you get a bad reputation outside, then that's also a plus. But at least you can get inside. Right? So then, you know, Shrivas Thakur is supposed to be this advanced person, and then if he appears that he's a Shakta, then what will his standing be in the Vaishnava society? See, when you're dealing in all this envy and all these things, it doesn't have to make sense. This idea that it should make sense, no, it doesn't have to make sense. People just do things because they're covered by the modes of nature. So depending on the modes, then they come up with various ways of dealing with it. Does that make sense? You know. I've seen, let's say, two Bengali gentlemen who actually have a great, let's say, dislike of each other. You know, like a sincere dislike of each other. The two of them meet, you know, because they have, let's say, have a common friend. And they generally, one deals with the friend or the other one, but somehow or another this time, both of them are there. And they meet each other. And they go through all the standard stuff. They come up, they this, they that, they say things and all that. But if you know Bengali, you can understand that in a very pleasant way, they're saying so many terrible things about each other. You know? It's not direct. It's all indirect. It's all, you know.
Passive aggressive.
Huh?
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, passive aggressive. Yeah, yeah. It means now they're just getting into it. Bengalis, they've known that for years. Does that make sense? So, the whole point is that in the culture that you can follow, but you have all these. It's what's your intent is the important aspect. You know, so even if people aren't so cultured, but if they're trying to do everything nice, it still works. As we shall see, one who offends a pure devotee can never satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unless and until he sincerely regrets his offense and thus rectifies it. Right? So that sincere trying to understand, you know, understand that offense, try to give up that kind of mentality or whatever it is, that's actually how it's rectified. I mean, you do have the aspect of going to the person and you know, begging forgiveness. If you have that opportunity, that should be done. But it's about the mentality, understanding that that's incorrect, and then asking for forgiveness. But even if you correct the mentality, there's not the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. By continuing that mentality, it will work. 1752, Lord Chaitanya continued, "You have made Sri Vasthakur appear to have been worshipping the goddess Bhavani. Simply for this offense, you will have to fall down into hellish life for 10 million births." Srila Prabhupada. "There are many Tantric followers who, wishing to eat meat and drink wine, practice the black art of worshipping the goddess Bhavani in a crematorium." Right? So, in worshipping of the demigods and things like this, you have the side where it's not the black arts, it's the white arts. Right? And so then the rituals, all that, they have that, they're clean, they're more pure and everything like that. But it can still be very materialistic. But it's a higher mode. You're working in goodness. But you can get down into the black arts, the dark arts like that, where you're wanting certain things from there. And they themselves are very materialistic, very generally sinful, like that. And so then that goes into another area. So even amongst the Shaktas that you were saying about that, it's not white. It's the black arts. So even amongst the Shaktas, that would be considered kind of a little bit more low class. So that way then the Vaishnavas would be really upset, and then the Shaktas would even think that's also not good. Does that make sense? "Such fools also consider this Bhavani Puja to be as good as worship of Lord Krishna in devotional service," right? Because they're in ignorance, they can't tell. They really have no idea. "But such abominable tantric activities performed by so-called swamis and yogis are herein condemned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He declares that such Bhavani Puja for drinking wine and eating meat quickly plunges one into hellish life. The method of worship itself is already hellish, and its results must be hellish and nothing more." So the method you're using, what the ingredients you're using, the whole, your goal, everything is hellish, so it's going to be a problem. So therefore, since he's working in this hellish thing, therefore he says, you'll fall down into hellish life for 10 million births. It's that they match. They go together. Does that make sense? Yeah. It means you can say there's a prominence of it in Bengal, and also you could say in Kerala, right? Because they were Bengalis, so naturally it'll be down there also. But it's also there in other places. Yeah, but it'll be smaller. You won't be, your general public would be. But you see, is even though it's that, they don't necessarily go into the dark side. They call it the left side. They generally stick to the right, doing everything, you know, the rules and all that, and it's more pure, but there are those who go on the left side. Black arts, yeah. Right side means the white. Yes, it means anywhere else you have basically those who are nice, those who are okay, and those who are not nice. In Bengal you only have two, nice or not nice. There's nothing in between. There's no taste in between. You know, it's like a, what do you call that? You know, it's just
bland.
Yeah, bland. There's no taste in ordinary, right? It's got to be extreme. And the fun part in Bengal is the same guy who's not nice, if you deal with him properly, he's very nice. And the same guy who's nice, if you don't deal with him properly, he's not nice. So, that's the specialness of... Yeah. So that means if you can deal properly and become and do okay in Bengal, then you'll anywhere else in the world will be very easy. But if you can't work it out with the Bengalis, you're not actually as good as you think you are.
I would say these New York guys and put them in Calcutta and see what happens.
Yeah, they don't do so bad. New York and Calcutta, there's a good connection there.
London probably more difficult.
Them's more probably, because they have this attitude of superiority. New Yorkers, it's not an individual superiority. It's a group of, because you're from New York, but anybody could become a New Yorker.
Yeah.
You know. Sorry?
Very accommodative.
Yeah, very accommodative. No?
You get a bath.
He's from Jersey.
No, I'm not.
No?
Pennsylvania,
okay. Well, sorry, I didn't say it right. Joyzy. Yeah. No, it's a funny thing. I mean, what we say, yeah. So that's the thing, is the modes, how they work, then they work differently in different places. So that's the whole point, is that because Bengalis go by how you deal, not who you are. Right? So they may look at you and you look different or this or that, but they'll watch how you behave. And if you behave nicely, then it will work. But if you don't behave nicely, then they're not going to appreciate. So it doesn't matter what your position, if you don't behave properly, they don't like it. So that's why it's, of all the states in India, you'll find the least amount of discrimination. If you're a Westerner, Bengalis really couldn't care less. But if you behave badly, then that would be okay because they're Westerners. Right? You know, it's like a what's his name? His father, Romaharshan. You know, he's a Suta, but he's doing Brahmin stuff. They all accept. But as soon as he messes up really badly, then they all go, "Well, he's a Suta. What do you want?" You know what I'm saying? But you know, look at this thing. Yeah, Jersey. All they're closer than California. Like I said, you have the, once I saw the New Yorker's view of the world, and you have Manhattan taking up the whole poster, right? And then you have a little bit, you know, Bronx here, you know, this and that. And then above that, you had going up, you had Chicago, L.A., Tokyo, like that. And that was, you know, that's the world. You know, it's kind of like, you know, at the end of Manhattan, somewhere out there, that's where all the rest of it is.
Boston, maybe?
That's too far over.
Yeah. Outside the map.
Yeah, it's outside the map. Like that. You know, they come down to New York, it's okay. You know, but I can't say if this is an up-to-date understanding. This is what you got from the New Yorkers that were here in India when I came.
All right.
Like that. It may have...
Years ago. Huh? It was like 4 years ago.
Yeah. But they were the, you know...
Yeah.
You know, toyed and toyed. They were that kind of... Yeah. Yeah, so maybe they've gone all soft on us now. So that's a good... But the point is you have modes, and accordingly you're going to be situated in worship. So there's more goodness, there's going to be one aspect, there's more ignorance, there's going to be others, passion, there's going to be others, any combination of those. So the point is the dark arts are always going to be a problem. That's always going to be a problem. Because it's based on ignorance, it's based on envy, it's based on malice and all these things. It has that sinful aspect. You know, the control and enjoy is more. There's no as much respect for authority other than what you have to worship. But like they can't tell the difference between their worship and worship of Krishna. They can't tell the difference between them and the deity either. They think they become the deity. You know, it's weird. Lord Chaitanya concluded, 1.17.53, "I have appeared in this incarnation to kill the demons, Pashandis, and after killing them, to preach the cult of devotional service." Srila Prabhupada. As explained here, the real purpose of an incarnation of Godhead is to kill the atheists and maintain the devotees. He does not say, like so many rascal incarnations, that atheists and devotees are on the same platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Sri Krishna. Like here, saying everybody's on an equal platform, that will always get social status. It will always work. So it's not like this is a new thing. You know, it's like the democracies have come up with it. You know, like he's saying here, all these so-called swamis and yogis, they've been saying this for thousands of years. You know, it's always going. It's just what works. You know, because people want to hear, if we're all equal, that means we all have an equal chance. And if I want to be happy, we all have an equal chance at it. So if someone else is happy, I also could become happy like that. So it's something everybody wants to hear. So that's the point of being here, is that unless you, in line with Lord Chaitanya, you can't actually tell what's spiritual and what's not. He does not say, like so many rascal incarnations, that atheists and devotees are on the same platform. You know, oh, we should all get along together and don't fight and don't bring up these, you know, these things that it just causes, you know, disturbance and all that. We'll just, you know, I don't know what we'll all do together like that. Hold hands and dance in a circle or something. I don't know. That.
Kumbaya.
Hmm? Kumbaya. Kumbaya is good. Okay, kumbaya.
Fairly universal.
Yeah, yeah. But you need a bonfire for that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. It's better. Burn the books.
Better.
Oh. All right.
Okay. Okay. Getting more extreme here.
Yeah.
Too much. Yeah, okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Sri Krishna, the real personality of Godhead, does not advocate such an idea. Atheists are punishable, whereas devotees are to be protected, right? If the material world's purpose is to become a theist, therefore to be an atheist and go against theism is punishable, right? You can say, as well, you've done nothing externally wrong or socially wrong or economically wrong. And so on those levels where you're not wrong, you won't be punished. But the mentality will be punished. The atheist mentality, because that's not what the material world is for. It's created by the Lord to give the living entities a chance to become God conscious. Yeah. To maintain this principle is the mission of all avatars or incarnations. One must therefore identify an incarnation by his activities, not by popular votes or mental concoctions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes, see, so we see here is this popular votes or mental concoctions. That's not, it doesn't work for us. This whole thing is, oh, but what will people think? It's like, no, but you're supposed to educate them. What do kids think about that they got to clean up their room or they got to brush their teeth or, you know, like that? They don't like it, so now does that mean that all parents now then don't deal with any of that, you know, so that their kids aren't disturbed?
Kind of does today.
Yeah, but are they now peaceful and
no,
nice?
Exactly.
And no, they're still just more disturbed, right? And now they disturb others.
Yeah.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave protection to devotees and killed many demons in the course of his preaching work. He specifically mentioned that the Mayavadi philosophers are the greatest demons. Right? Because they're taking people the farthest away from God consciousness. Right? Others, just God's not there, but they're trying to establish how he's not there and that it's all one and that there's, yeah. Therefore, he warned all others not to hear the Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavadi bhashya shunile hoy sarvanash. Simply by hearing the Mayavad interpretation of the Shastras, what is doomed? Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 6, 169. Right? Because an atheist, you can talk about the personal, he'll just say, it just doesn't exist and all that. But the Mayavadis will say the Supreme exists, but he's impersonal. So they're worse. Because the others, they're just not thinking. Right? Yes, it's more. Yeah, that's why it said they're the greatest demons. Mm-hmm. 1:17:54-56. Like you see, Hiranyakashipu, he's accepting that, you know, Vishnu is there and he has a form. He just thinks he's superior to that. But he's not saying that, that the Lord doesn't have a form. Well, the impersonalist was saying he doesn't have a form. So that's worse. Since the origin of everything is a person, then to say he doesn't have a form, then that's, you can see that's the worst. That's the other end of the scale.
Yes, yes. Because he thinks Vishnu actually is bound by the same rules as he is.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But I mean, he's working in karma, in the area of karma. And he uses gyan just to further his karma. But you would say he's a karmi. You know? Like that. But you say, but so he was the biggest demon as such, means he's making that endeavor in that. But the most demoniac mentality is that of the Mayavadis. So. 1:17:54-56. After saying this, the Lord left to take his bath in the Ganges, and that sinful man did not give up his life, but continued to suffer. When Sri Chaitanya, after accepting the renounced order of life, went to Jagannath Puri and then came back to the village of Kulia, upon his return, that sinful man took shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord, being merciful to him, gave him instructions for his benefit. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anubhashya has given the following note in connection with the village Kulia. The village originally known as Kulia has developed into what is now the city of Navadvip. In various authorized books like the Bhakti Ratnakara, Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, Chaitanya Chandadoy Nataka, and Chaitanya Bhagava, it is mentioned that the village of Kulia is on the western side of the Ganges. Even now, within the area known as Koladweep, there's a place known as Kuliara Ganja, and a place called Kuliara Daha, both within the jurisdiction of the present municipality of Navadweep. In the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two villages on the western side of the Ganges, namely Kulia and Pahadapura, both belonged to the jurisdiction of Bahiradweep. At that time, the place on the eastern side of the Ganges, now known as Antadweep, was known as Navadweep. At that time, the place on the eastern side of the Ganges, now known as Antadweep, was known as Navadweep. Oh, it's the same sentence twice. Okay. So it's very important, right? It's being repeated. Yeah. Yeah. So the town of Navadvip is only like 100 and some odd years old. It's not. It's a new thing.
I heard that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to find out where the Navadvip is, he found an old man on the Navadvip town. He said that we used to be here.
Here? This side.
And he shifted.
Yeah, so this was Navadvip, because it's the center. Antadvip is the center of Navadvip. So by calling the, you know, you have the whirl of the lotus, then that includes the whole lotus. So it will be the nine dweeps. So then somehow or another it's there, because the caste Goswamis want to set up and, you know, make their money and all that. And so, like that. Okay.
Bengali.
Yeah, of course. It means Bengali Goswamis. At Sri Mayapur, that place is still known as Dvipara Mat. There's another place of the name Kulia near Kancharapada, but it is not the same Kulia mentioned here. It cannot be accepted as Aparadha Bhanjanarapada, or the place where the offense was excused. For that occurred in the above-mentioned Kulia on the western side of the Ganges. For business reasons, many envious persons oppose excavation of the real place, and sometimes they advertise unauthorized places as the authorized one. Right, because it's just for business, because their house is there, they're there, and so it's all there. It's very, you know, the commute's easy. Right? Yeah. 1:17:57-65. You have committed an offense at the lotus feet of Sri Vas Thakur, the Lord said. First, you must go there and beg for his mercy, and then if he gives you his blessings and you do not commit such sins again, you'll be freed from these reactions. Then the Brahmana, Gopal Chapala, went to Shiva's Thakur and took shelter of his lotus feet. And by Shiva's Thakur's mercy, he was freed from all sinful reactions. Another Brahmana came to see the kirtan performance, but the door was closed, and he could not enter the hall. He returned home with an unhappy mind, but on the next day he met Lord Chaitanya on the bank of the Ganges and spoke to him. That Brahmana was expert in talking harshly and cursing others. Thus he broke his sacred thread and declared, "I shall now curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me." The Brahman cursed the Lord, "You shall be bereft of all material happiness." When the Lord heard this, he felt great jubilation within himself, right? Because what does the Lord have to do with material happiness? Right? He only interacts with his Sarup Shakti. You know? Any faithful person who hears this Brahman's cursing Lord Chaitanya is delivered from all Brahminical curses. That's a good one. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Mukunda Dutta with punishment and in that way vanquished all his mental depression. Srila Prabhupada, Mukunda Dutta was once forbidden to enter the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his mixing with the Mayavadi impersonalists, right? So all these ones, there's something where they're not having the association of the Lord, right? When Lord Chaitanya manifested his Mahaprakash, he called all the devotees one after another and blessed them, while Mukunda Dutta stood outside the door. The devotees informed the Lord that Mukunda Dutta was waiting outside, but the Lord replied, I shall not soon be pleased with Mukunda Dutta, for although he explains devotional service among the devotees, he then goes to Mayavadis to hear from them the Yoga Vaishishta Ramayana, which is full of Mayavad philosophy. For this I am greatly displeased with him. Hearing the Lord speak in that way, Mukunda Dutta, standing outside, was exceedingly glad that the Lord would at some point be pleased with him, although he was not pleased at that moment. Because he said, I shall not soon be pleased. Right? It means he will be pleased, but not immediately. But when the Lord understood that Mukunda Dutta was not going to give up the association of Mayavadis for... But when the Lord understood that Mukunda Dutta was going to give up the association of the Mayavadis for good, better, right? Yeah. He was pleased, and he at once called to see Mukunda. Thus he delivered him from the association of the Mayavadis and gave him the association of pure devotees. 1:17:66-68. Lord Chaitanya respected Advaitacharya as his spiritual master, but Advaitacharya Prabhu was greatly aggrieved by such behavior. Thus he whimsically began to explain the path of philosophical speculation, and the Lord, in his anger, seemingly disrespected him. At that time, Advaitacharya was greatly pleased. The Lord understood this, and he was somewhat ashamed, but he offered Advaitacharya his benediction. Srila Prabhupada. Advaitacharya was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Ishwarapuri's spiritual master. Therefore, Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was Advaitacharya's godbrother. In view of this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated Advaitacharya as his spiritual master. But Sri Advaitacharya did not like this behavior of Lord Chaitanya, for he wanted to be treated as his eternal servant. Advaita Prabhu's aspiration was to be a servant of the Lord, not his spiritual master. He therefore devised a plan to antagonize the Lord. He began to explain the path of philosophical speculation in the midst of some unfortunate Mayavadis. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about this, he immediately went there and in a very angry mood began to beat Advaitacharya. At that time, Advaitacharya, greatly pleased, began to dance, saying, "Just see how my desire has been fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to treat me honorably for so long, but now he is treating me neglectfully. This is my reward. His affection for me is so great that he wanted to save me from the hands of the Mayavadis." Mm-hmm. Hearing this statement, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was somewhat ashamed, but he was very pleased with Advaitacharya. 1:17:69-70. Murari Gupta was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. When Lord Chaitanya heard Lord Ramachandra's glories from his mouth, he immediately wrote on his forehead, Ramadasa, the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. Once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Sridhara after kirtan and drank water from his damaged iron pot. Then he bestowed his benediction upon all the devotees according to their desires. Srila Prabhupada. After the mass Nagar Samkirtan in protest against the magistrate Chankazi, the Kazi was converted to a devotee. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned with the Samkirtan party to the house of Sridhara, and Chankazi followed him. All the devotees rested there for some time and drank water from Sridhara's damaged iron pot. The Lord accepted the water because the pot belonged to a devotee. Chankazi then returned home. The place where they rested is still situated on the northeastern side of Mayapur and is known as Kirtana Vishramastana, the resting place of the Kirtan party. After this incident, the Lord blessed Haridas Thakur and vanquished the offense of his mother at the home of Advaitacharya, Srila Prabhupada. On the Mahaprakash day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Haridas Thakur and informed that he was none other than an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. When Vishwarup took sannyas, Sachimata thought that Advaitacharya had persuaded him to do so. Therefore, she accused Advaitacharya of this, which was an offense at his lotus feet. Later, Lord Chaitanya induced his mother to take the dust of Advaitacharya's lotus feet, and thus her Vaishnava aparad was nullified. 1:17, 72-73. Once when the Lord explained the glories of the holy name to the devotees, some ordinary students who heard him fashioned their own interpretation. When a student interpreted the glories of the holy name as a prayer of exaggeration, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, greatly unhappy, immediately warned everyone not to see the student's face henceforth. Srila Prabhupada. Once when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the glories of the transcendental potency of the Lord's holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one unfortunate student said that such glorification of the holy name was an exaggeration in the Shastras to induce people to take to it, right? Because if you say something more than what it is, people then will have a tendency to follow that with the idea they can get. But the point is that's why it's an offense, because the holy name means what glorifications are there are only a portion of the glories, like that. So it's not like the Karmakanda section is doing. In this way, the student interpreted the glories of the holy name. This is called Artavad, and it is one of the 10 offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. There are many kinds of offenses, but the offense known as Namaparad, an offense at the lotus feet of the holy name, is extremely dangerous. The Lord therefore warned everyone not to see the face of the offender. The Lord immediately took a bath in the Ganges with all his clothes on to teach everyone to avoid such a nam aparada. Like, as you take bath with your clothes on, and then you're considered purified. Like, because otherwise you just take a bath and put on those same clothes, then it's not considered as ideal. The holy name is identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between the person God and his holy name. This is the absolute position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one who distinguishes between the Lord and his name is called a Pashandi, or non-believer, an atheistic demon. Glorification of the holy name is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should never attempt to distinguish between the Lord and his name, or interpret the glories of the name as mere exaggerations. 1:17, 74-76. Without even removing his garments, Lord Chaitanya took a bath in the Ganges with his companions. There he explained the glories of devotional service. Quote, by following the paths of speculative philosophical knowledge, fruit of activity or mystic yoga, to control the senses, one cannot satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Right? Because the senses are his. And so just that you stop using them, that doesn't mean you've pleased him. It's when they're engaged in his service, that's when he's pleased. Right? So this idea that, oh yes, when so austere and this and that, but unless that austerity is in pursuance of pleasing Krishna, then it's not that it's important for Krishna. Because he is the senses. He is the controller of the senses. got into a topic that we...
No. Oh, okay. Sensitive.
Sensitive topic, yeah. Okay. By following the paths of speculative philosophical knowledge, fruit of activity in mystic yoga, to control the senses, one cannot satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Unalloyed devotional love for Krishna is the only cause for the Lord's satisfaction. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Astanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through the impersonal modism, or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through the study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. Right? So that one is following the religious processes, that's of course going to have, you know, it's following the Lord's direction. So of course it's going to have some element that's there. Otherwise, why are they getting these benefits from those religious processes? But him as a person is not really pleased without devotional service. Does that make sense? So it's just by performing the religious activities to get the benefit. The religious activity is there to be engaged in devotional service. So if you're using the religious activity for material benefit, how will that be satisfying in actuality to the Lord? It can't be. Right? Because the point is the activity is supposed to be used in the Lord's service. But that you're following the rules, respecting the scriptures, and therefore following, that has, it's pious because it's progressive, and that is in the direction towards. You know, it'd be like, let's say, it means like Krishna explained, he has one path. And so you're either going towards him or away from him. So, but the thing is you can go towards him with your back turned. You can still be Bahir Mukh, but your back's to the Lord, but moving towards him. Let's say like they go up to the heavenly planets or up to liberation. They won't get to devotion, they won't actually get to the Lord. You understand? So that's the point of the piety. They're moving forward, but the point is only if they turn around, then is that actually pleasing. You know, so that's the point, is that, but that they're moving forward, then all you have to do is turn them around and they're on the right path. Does that make sense? But, yeah.
Can we say that because the devotees are turning to serving Krishna, the karmi are trying to enjoy, they are trying to get knowledge, and we say that the Mayavadi are not moving?
Means they're moving forward in renunciation, but the point is they can't get past their position. Like the karmis, they'll accept that the Lord is there, but they're not really interested in developing a relationship anything more than order supplier. And so then, but with the Mayavadis, they're basically saying he doesn't exist. And so by their renunciation and following the scriptures, they move forward, but only up to that position of renunciation. You know what I'm saying? But the difficulty comes is that there's a limit to their renunciation because they're considering their Brahman, and so it's all them. You know, so it becomes very messy. That's why Lord Chaitanya was saying they're the biggest demoniac mentality, because then they can take people that would, you know, simple people that would naturally be inclined towards God consciousness, they can take them away. You know, because they make it sound so intellectual that it sounds like it must be right. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Astanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through the impersonal monism or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as developing unalloyed devotional service to me. Srila Prabhupada. Karmis, jnanis, yogis, tapasvis, and students of Vedic literature who do not have Krishna consciousness simply beat around the bush and do not get any final profit because they have no clear knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So all these things that are there, you know, the activities, the proper activities, the knowledge, you know, the point of connecting with the Supreme, the study of the Vedic literature, the austerities, these are all meant just to be engaged in Krishna service. So if we're doing that, that works very nice. If we're not doing that, then the problem comes up is that you're not actually getting the benefit for what they're meant for. You know? So, you know, it's just like, let's say you use your frying pan to hammer a nail into the wall. You know, so you're not getting the real benefits that the frying pan can offer. You know? And then after knocking the nail in the wall, you can hang up a nice picture of something to eat. And, you know, that's as good as it's going to get, right?
Glad I got this frying pan.
Yeah, yeah. So good, yeah. Better than the last one, because the last one, if you hit the nails, it'll make a little dents. Yeah. This one, it doesn't. Yeah, yeah. So it's better. Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Maybe hang that on
it. Yeah, hang that on the wall, yeah. Nor do they have faith in approaching him by discharging devotional service, although everywhere such service is repeatedly emphasized, as it is in the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.20. The Bhagavad Gita 18.55 also declares, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati Yavanyash Chasmi Tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. If one wants to understand the Personality of Godhead factually, he must take to the path of devotional service, not waste time in profitless philosophical speculation, fruitive activity, mystic yogic practice, or severe austerity and penance. Right? So profitless means if these are engaged in the Lord's service, then you're getting that profit of devotion. Right? Because by them you're being purified, you're engaging that in the Lord's service. Then in that purified state, engaged in service, then the Lord being pleased with that endeavor, that devotion, then one advances. Right? So it's not the thing itself that causes the advancement, it's the Lord's pleasure. But you use the medium. Does that make sense?
You just need to be a devotee.
Yes, that's the whole point. That's the focus, is being a devotee. Then, as a devotee, you want to serve the Lord, so then you have the capacity of what you can do, and so you engage yourself according to that capacity. So that's what you're trying to do. That's where Varnashram and all these others come in, is because they're useful in engaging yourself in Krishna's service. It's not that they create devotional service. You know, so it's not that if you're pro-Vedic, then that's actually devotional. Or, no, we don't care for all this. We only care for devotional service. But then how are you going to express it? You know, so that's the difficulty, is that that becomes impersonal.
Yes.
When you're not accepting the Vedic culture as such, you know, the principles of it as given by the Acharyas, then the difficulty comes up, then how you'll express your devotion. Because then you can say, well, we have our own methods. But then those methods are for us. And we can't be confident that they'll please the Lord. You know, it's just like, let's say, I want to arrange a party for someone, and I arrange it just what I like. You know, it may not work out so good. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, you make it according to how they like it. That's a relationship. That's devotion. Does that make sense? So one has to be very careful to be able to understand what is devotional service and what's not. Right? So the devotion is the attitude. And then using the recommended processes, because those are the processes that those who know how to please Krishna use. And those are the processes Krishna himself uses in expressing his affection for the devotees, then that's why we're using that system. Right? But if we're rejecting that because, you know, that's where our background is not from there, but then the problem comes is that then if you want to take it further, then, you know, the children, why are you training the children? They have their own way they like to do things. So we're imposing upon them a culture, right? But then that's to bring them up to just, you know, behaving properly in society. So now if you want to be trained to function on the spiritual platform, then there's further training. Then we say, oh, we don't need that. We, you know, we already have a great culture. But great from where? You know, that's the only difficulty. So that's why we use it. That's why you see Lord Chaitanya's devotees are using it. Because it's a very nice medium. It's what Krishna's given for interacting on devotional service. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. It seems that in Chaitanya Chaitanya, all the devotees are pure devotees.
Is that a problem?
No.
Okay.
And they test the relationship with Krishna and among themselves.
Yes, yes. But then you see is the lifestyle they're living is the same one that we're given.
Yes.
So then you can see is that it's the natural lifestyle for the pure devotees. So we may be practicing it as sadhakas,
yes,
but we understand that the pure devotion is the main thing, and so we're always looking at that way. We are always trying to distinguish what is pleasing to Krishna. You know, what's the activities that are used to please Krishna, though on their own they're not, and then what are those activities that aren't recommended? Right? Because the non-recommended, if we're following them, is simply because we like them. But it doesn't mean that it's human, right? Because if Krishna's doing human pastimes, that means he's following human activities, human recommendations. Mm-hmm. So then that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So to not follow the human recommendations and then claim that our subhuman standards are the same or equal, it's the same illusion that the tantrics think that their worship of Shakti is the same as good as worship of Vishnu. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You can't compare them at all. You know, it's gold and iron. You know, it may be material, but you still have to be able to tell the difference. If you can't tell the difference between gold and iron, then great, we'll come along and, you know, we'll take your fancy car and, you know, leave some lemon there, you know, and then... you know, like that. We'll comment, because if you can't discriminate, then hey, great. So that's the whole thing, is that they'll discriminate for themselves, but they won't discriminate for Krishna. You know, like Prabhupada very clearly in Nectar Devotion is saying, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, is that Krishna is so pleased that just that, he'll accept that. But then Rupa Goswami says after that, but that doesn't mean that you have more facility. You only give that, saying that that's all that Krishna wants. That's right there in Nectar Devotion. Right? So we have to be careful about making up our own philosophies, especially when the acharyas have already made comments about them. You know, we're coming up as if it's something new, like that. No.
Yeah. They were literally years ahead of us.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, they know what Jiva Maya is. So when Jiva Maya does something, it seems new and fresh. You know? Like that. So. Yeah. When 1777 through 78, Lord Chaitanya then praised Murari Gupta, saying, "You have satisfied Lord Krishna." Hearing this, Murari Gupta quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, quote, "Since I am but a poor, sinful Brahma Bandhu, not brahminically qualified, although born in a Brahmin family, and you, Lord Krishna, are the shelter of the goddess of fortune, it is simply wonderful, my dear Lord Krishna, that you have embraced me with your arms." Srila Prabhupada, this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.16, spoken by Sudama Vipra, in the presence of Lord Sri Krishna. This and the previous verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam clearly indicate that although Krishna is so great and it is not possible for anyone to satisfy him, he exhibits his greatness by being personally satisfied even with one who is unqualified from so many angles of vision. Sudama Vipra was born in a family of brahmanas. He was a learned scholar and a class friend of Krishna's. yet he considered himself unfit to be strictly called a Brahmana. He called himself a Brahma Bandhu, meaning one born in a Brahmin family but not Brahminically qualified. Right? So, I mean, that's above our pay grade. At least you're born in the Brahmin family. Right? You know, so, yeah.
Just trying to become human.
Yes, yes. I say Manushya Bandhu. Yes. Like that. Like that. Because of his great respect for Brahmanas, however, Krishna embraced Sudama Vipra, although he was not a regular Brahman, but a Brahma Bandhu, a friend of a Brahman family. But even he's on that, but it doesn't matter to Krishna. I'm not saying he is one, it's just he's considered himself like that. Murari Gupta could not be called even a Brahma Bandhu because he was born of a Vaidya family, and according to the social structure was therefore considered a Shudra. Right, because the Vaidya family means there was a Brahmin father and a Shudra mother. So there's the Brahminical aspect, but they tend to deal with the more physical aspect. So that's why, for those who are being very strict, they would consider them Shudras. But technically they're in the Brahmin family, especially if they're practicing medicine and all that.
Usually we say that doctors as such are Brahmins.
Yes.
Specific Vaidyas.
Yeah, but that's the whole point is that, see, what is the doctor thinking about all day?
Yeah.
Yeah, so therefore, the conscience has that effect. That's why it's not considered as good as if you're studying Shastra and teaching Shastra or doing puja or doing yajnas or that kind of thing, because then you may be absorbed in the rituals and like that, but at least then it has that element of, it's not on the bodily platform. So that's why it's not considered as ideal a position. But, you know, you're trying to encourage people. So, like that. You know. But unfortunately, doctors tend to be very proud. Right? Sorry?
They don't require encouragement.
Yeah, they don't require the encouragement. But, yeah.
What is the combination of what you said?
The Brahmin father, Shudra mother. Like that. So it's technically it's like that. Means if they take up the Brahminical, then they'd be a Vaidya. If they take up the Shudra, they'd be a Nishada. You know what I'm saying? Just like the Sutta. The Sutta, then the Brahmin mother, Kshatriya father, it's already a fallen position. Now if they take up the Brahminical activity, they'll be counted there. If they take up the Kshatriya, they'll be counted there. Or they may drive a chariot, then they'll be considered a Shudra. Yeah, but at the same time, it's only 1 degree off, while the other is 4 degrees off. Mm-hmm. You know, 4 or 3? 3.
3,
yeah. You understand? So you have to just see what's there. But the point is you see how they work, what they do. So, see, it's for the Vaishnavs, they use it for themselves to just, you know, just another way of maintaining a humble attitude. You know, so socially they can maintain that and others can't complain. Does that make sense? But factually, if one understands the Vedic system, then one doesn't use it like that to categorize them. Does that make sense? So in the Vaishnava community, we just go by advancement and devotional service. Right? And then the nature is then what kind of service you would do for Krishna. Does that make sense? But directly, the five direct activities of devotional service, then any living entity can take part in that if they have that transcendental interest. Does that make sense? So if someone's advanced devotionally, then those five you don't have restrictions on. Does that make sense? But as in occupations and engagements, then you would then see what's the conditioning. Because the conditioning means it's sustainable. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like this. If you only had to go to work one day a week, and even that would only be for, like, let's say, an hour and a half, 2 hours. Means anybody could do anything.
Hobby.
Huh?
Hobby.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So, it's not that you can't do the activity, you can't sustain the activity. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like that. It's that the person once a week can do an artik for the deity, or, you know, a little bit more once a week, go and dress the deities. But they can't do that every day, day in, day out, all day. Does that make sense? As an occupation and stuff like that. One is they can't do the activity, and two, they'll consider it's not going to get them enough facility. Does that make sense? But for the Brahminical mentality, that's what they do, and then whatever facility comes, then they're good. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to judge what's what area you're looking at.
Okay, so but now society, the position of doctors are quite veterans in position of drivers.
Drivers.
If you compare Vaidya and the super.
Well, it depends on what driver. You know, if they're driving for Petronas, then they're doing pretty good. But it's just like the doctor will be good and, you know, socially there, but these others, it just depends how good you are. But in general, you'd say, yes, the doctor has a better position because they would more naturally be counted within the, just naturally within that Brahminical. But it's saying here, as you're saying, they're counted as Shudras because the social structure at that time, previously Prabhupada mentioned, that if you weren't a Brahmin, you were a Shudra. So they didn't even recognize Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. There were Brahmins and Shudras. Because they're just trying to establish themselves. So that's the problem with these caste Goswamis in there. Is that they don't have any discrimination, probably. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you discriminate. So what they didn't tell. So that's why then anything that's not standard is just your Shudra. So that's why then the Vaidya falls into this category. But otherwise, the doctor, being a doctor and knowing that, that's a Brahminical activity. Assisting doctors, that's a Shudra activity. Does that make sense? But being a doctor, that's the Brahminical. Does that make sense?
Not to be a doctor, but to work.
That's not ideal. Like that. He was saying to be a doctor, but then to receive a salary. Yeah. So it wouldn't be ideal, but that's just the modern society. Then it's the same principles, everybody's Shudras. Right? But then here it's not the Brahmins that are important, because everybody's Shudra. It's the businessman, the guy who can make the money, he's the top. Everybody else is a Shudra. You know, before at least then they thought, well, those who are Brahmins, they're Brahmins, and everybody else is a Shudra. So here it's just whoever you can engage, they're Shudras. Because you're you know, money talks, right? So, but Krishna bestowed special mercy upon Murari Gupta, because he was a beloved devotee of the Lord, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The purport of Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's elaborate discussion of this subject is that no qualification in this material world can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Yet everything becomes successful simply through development of devotional service to the Lord. So in the material world, nothing can satisfy him, but with devotional service, then you can engage so many things in his service. They're satisfying because of the devotion. But otherwise, without the devotion, it doesn't matter what the qualification, he's still not happy. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness cannot even call themselves Brahma Bandhus, right? Because that's what I was saying. Well, at least they're born in the Brahmin families. Right? Therefore, only means for satisfying Krishna is to pursue the injunctions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who says, Jare deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hoy tara edesh. Whomever you meet, instruct them on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. Just as a side thing. Here, notice here. Whomever you meet, instruct him on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, right, means by giving instructions on Krishna's order of giving instructions, become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. Right? Does that make sense? So it means everybody should be Siksha Guru and training everybody else. That's the definition that's here. That's the whole point. So this thing is, no, see, everyone's supposed to be, but then he meaning everyone, because this one he's just saying a general everyone. There's another one where he says, you know, men, women, children, everybody should be doing this.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's the point. By Siksha, it can be done. Like Gopal Guru, he was only 8. But he instructed Lord Chaitanya, and so he accepted him as guru. Like that. So this is the more developed understanding, is that guru means one gives instructions. Instruct him on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, become a spiritual master. Does that make sense? That answers your question from yesterday. Simply trying to follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we speak to the people of the world about Bhagavad Gita as it is. This will make us qualified to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So that's the thing. We're trying to do devotional service, trying to understand, trying to apply, trying to help others understand. That will please Krishna. 117:79-83. One day the Lord performed Sankirtana with all his devotees, and when they were greatly fatigued, they sat down. The Lord then sowed a mango seed in the yard, and immediately the seed fructified into a tree and began to grow. Right? Now, that would be fun, right? You're all sitting there, the Lord takes a seed, right, sitting around, puts it in the ground, immediately turns into a tree, right? As the people looked on, the tree became fully grown, with fruits that fully ripened. Thus everyone was struck with wonder. Huh? Yeah, no. The Lord immediately picked about 200 fruits, and after washing them, he offered them to Krishna to eat. The fruits were all red and yellow, with no seed inside and no skin outside, and eating one fruit would immediately fill a man's belly.
King of fruits.
Huh?
The king of fruits. The original genetic engineering.
Yeah.
No seeds.
Yeah, no seeds. No, yeah. Well, the point is because you eat it, you can't grow it anyway. So, Srila Prabhupada, in India, a mango is considered best when it is red and yellow. Right? Because the point is it's yellow, it has the color, but it gets that little bit of redness to it, that means it's ripe. You know, and so those kind of ones are the best. You also have some ones that are green and turn a little red or this or that. The yellow with the red, that's considered the best. In India, mango is considered best when it's red and yellow. Because they're talking about in India. Other places, they may have another idea. If it's the size of a football, then, you know, then it's good, or, you know, like that. You know, so, you know, there's different considerations depending on where you are. When it is red and yellow, its seed is very small. Its skin is very thin. And it's so powerful that if a person eats one fruit, he will be satisfied. The mango is considered the king of all fruits. Like, because if it's done like that, and it's very, very, yeah, very satisfying. Doesn't mean you can't eat more, but it means you could be satisfied with one. But here, Lord Chaitanya's one said it filled his belly, so it means it was even more. But also, he says that, you know, he's talking about, you know, gentlemen here, so that's another thing. Remember the previous page about the Brahma Bandhus and the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness cannot even call themselves Brahma Bandhus. So. Yeah. Verses 117:84-88. Seeing the quality of the mangoes, the Lord was greatly satisfied. and thus, after eating first, he fed all the other devotees. The fruits had no skins, seeds or skins. They were full of nectarian juice, and were so sweet that a man would be fully satisfied by eating only one. In this way, so this is the opposite of Lay's potato chips. Right? In this way, fruits grew on the tree every day throughout the 12 months of the year. And the Vaishnavas used to eat them to the Lord's great satisfaction. So they do Harinam, go there, eat mangoes. Yeah. These are confidential pastimes of the son of Sachi. Other than devotees, no one knows of this incident. In this way, the Lord performed Samkirtana every day. And at the end of Samkirtana, there was a mango-eating festival every day for 12 months. Yeah, so that's what we say, chanting, dancing, taking prasad. That's our process, right? Yeah, that's even better. Yeah, that's far out. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. On principle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would distribute prasadam at the end of kirtan performances. Similarly, the members of the Krishna conscious movement must distribute some prasad to the audience after performing kirtan. Like, so you see, 26 second hour, Prabhupada have a single apple. He cut that up and then distribute it all and like that. So. Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.